The message we wish to bring to you today is found in the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We read here what the Lord Jesus himself gives as the picture of eternity, death, and what comes thereafter. Now the Lord himself is the one who alone knows whereof he speaks, and he has the authority to say what he does. And in this written record, we have what alone gives us, the true picture of death and after. I trust that the listener today has faced the issue squarely. That is the issue of death. You may not like to do so. You may push it into the future. You may not like to think about it. But death is a fact. It is a reality. And it is that which you must face. And God grant that you will face this fact today in your thoughts, that you might be prepared for death, that which brings you into eternity, an eternity either with Christ in the glory or else in the blackness of darkness forever. Dear listener, it is God's desire that none should perish, and he has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And when the Savior was here, he pointed to men the issues of death and life, time and eternity. He speaks with authority. I trust that today you will consider the fact that you, as all other men, are faced with coming to the end of your life's journey. Just this past week, how the community was shocked to think of 5 teenagers who came very abruptly to the end of their life's journey, riding in a car, none of them thinking that they were just seconds away from death, yet failing to negotiate a curve. The driver could not control the car, and consequently all 5 teenagers were tragically and abruptly and unexpectedly entered into eternity. You may have this experience. You know not. You know not the day of your death. Death is unexpectedly received at times, and it is that which comes, and when we don't wish it to come, but we can't stay its hand. Of course, the scriptures tell us that the certainty of death is there, for it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And life is so short. We read in scripture in James that our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Peter tells us that our life is like grass and the flower of the grass. It flourishes for a little, but yet how soon it withers away and dies. And so is man's existence here in time. Even 70 years, 80 or 90, what is that in comparison to eternity? And so you may meet death at any moment, and then you will be in eternity forever and forever. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who alone can speak the truth in connection with this matter, unveils the future in the 16th of Luke when he has the 2 men before us who die. And in each of these we have represented for us those who die in Christ and those who die without Christ. The first, you notice, is a rich man, and he fares sumptuously every day. He's clothed in purple and fine linen, and that's all that's said about him. There's nothing said against him. The main point seems to be that he lived for himself, he enjoyed himself fully, but he left God out of his thoughts. Next we read of a certain beggar named Lazarus, one who had nothing here, and one who desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And he was full of sores, and the dogs came and licked the sores that he had. It suggests one who has nothing here. But apparently, through the meaning of his name, Lazarus, we have just an indication of the fact that he trusted God. For his name means, my mighty one, or my God is helper. And so it just suggests, as the Lord Jesus is doing here, giving us the suggestion that those who live for time are those who have the tables reversed for them in eternity. If they leave God out of their thoughts here, God shall leave them out of his portion there. And just the same way in connection with Lazarus, here's this man who, in all his wretchedness, has clung to God in hope. And though apparently it would seem that God has forsaken him here, yet those that trust in God here shall be received into everlasting habitations. God's grace comes in, and he gives to those that trust in him the blessing which none of us deserve. But we have these two men before us. They have something in common, however, in that they both die. Yes, the wages of sin is death. And this is what is pronounced upon all men, for that all have sinned. We read that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The beggar also died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The tables are reversed as far as their portion and enjoyment is concerned. The beggar died, and the agency of God, the angels, saw to it that this man who died, having his trust in God, was carried into the place of blessing. The language is all figurative in this parable, or in this incident, for it doesn't say it is a parable. But in any case, the Lord Jesus is using symbolic language to set forth truth. And how true it is that if it is figurative speech, such as it is, how great is the reality. But I think what is especially noticeable here is the simple, forthright speaking clearly of our Lord Jesus in not exaggerating, just stating facts such as he knows them to be, as he draws aside the curtain for us to look into eternity. And it very simply says that this beggar was carried into the place of blessing. Abraham's bosom is symbolical of the place of comfort and blessing that is there for those that, like Abraham, have put their trust in God's word. For we read that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so you know, dear friends, those who die believing God's word, having accepted God's provision in Christ, are those who will be blessed. They will go to the habitation of the faithful, those that have trusted Christ, those that have believed God's word. Have you believed in him? Have you accepted God's record of his salvation through Christ? And this is up to you. Have you been brought into blessing through the work of Calvary? Have you accepted the blood of Christ as that which cleanses you from your sin and makes you fit for the presence of God? In other words, have you believed God? Are you one of Abraham's children, figuratively speaking? You notice the rich man that died had a burial. We don't read that about the beggar, but this rich man had a burial. No doubt it was very pretentious, but what good was it? When you think of death, it separates the soul and spirit from the body, and the real person is that which goes into eternal existence. The body is left behind for the resurrection, but the soul and spirit go to the place, into the condition that they will abide in forever and forever. We notice here that this rich man is in the place of torment. As to the condition, he's in Hades. It's a condition of being disembodied. The word itself means unseen. And so the person that you look at, so to speak, in the casket is not the real person. It's just the casket of clay. It's the body in which the person lived. The real person, the soul and the spirit, the conscious person, the intelligent person, the emotional person, the man himself, has gone into eternity. He is not yet in Gehenna. That is not the word here. Gehenna, which the Lord uses himself several times in the gospel, speaks of the place of eternal judgment, the place called hell fire, the outer darkness, everlasting punishment. No one is in the place of hell fire, Gehenna, yet. But Hades suggests for us the condition of unseen, the condition of disembodiment. And those that die without Christ are those who are in torment. We are not told where it is as to the place, but we know that the condition is torment. And this is what is revealed to us by the Savior himself. And you notice there is a consciousness on the part of this man there, for he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The thought is that a man who dies, the moment that he leaves this body, and he is in a condition where he recognizes and he knows, he understands, he discerns. He has conscious moments. Indeed, he is conscious continually of where he is and what is going on. You know, dear friend, there's no such thing in Scripture as the soul sleeping. When the Lord Jesus refers to the sleep of the believer, he refers to the body being put to rest. But there's no such thing as soul sleep. Also, you notice that this man not only has a conscience of what is going on, he knows and understands, but he also has feeling. And he is tormented in this flame. He is thirsty. And he desires that he might have some water brought to him, even one drop. But what a solemn thing it is that those that die without Christ are denied even a drop of water. They had everything here, but they've left God out of their thoughts here. I wonder if the listener is living just simply for time. Are you amongst those of whom the Lord Jesus is speaking here who are serving mammon and not God, that you're living for the things of this life, the riches of this world? You cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. You either know God and love him and serve him, or you do not. And if you do not, like this rich man, though you may be respectable, you may be looked upon as being dignified and in a position of honor amongst men. He was clothed in purple. And also he was clothed with fine linen. He was irreproachable as far as men could see. He was a fine fellow amongst them all. And of course he didn't have to feed every beggar that came to his table. No. There's nothing said against him in that respect, but the point is that he lived simply for himself and for time. He was a servant of mammon. And the Lord Jesus Christ used this to the Pharisees, and you know, when they who were covetous heard this, they derided him. They did not like to hear it. You know, men do not like to hear the truth. But the Lord Jesus says, why? He says, you justify yourself, but God knoweth your hearts. Don't forget that, dear friend. Don't seek to justify yourself before God. He knows your hearts. And the truth is that you cannot serve God and mammon or riches or things in this life. It's either one or the other. God may bless you with the things in this life. That's another thing. And thank him if he does, but use it for his glory. But those who leave God out of their thoughts, who do not use what they have for God, are those who, when they die, will be found in the place of torment, will be found in a place of hopelessness. He desires that Lazarus might come and dip the tip of his finger. Think of it. Oh, beloved friend, there's no such a thing as even a drop of water in a lost eternity. But now you may have rivers of living water. There's the stream of refreshing that comes to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may have today that which will eternally satisfy your soul and quench your thirst. But remember this, when your life's journey is over and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, when you die in your sins, you'll remain in your sins, and you'll be in torment of your sins. And not only is the wages of sin death, but after death comes the judgment. And if you despise God's grace and God's salvation in Christ and the rivers of living water now, you will suffer the judgment of God because of your unbelief and rejection of Christ. Don't forget this. This is the truth of God. This is what we would have you be aroused to, that you are going to have to meet God. And if you die without Christ, you will meet him in your sins and be judged in your sins forever. And there's another point to remember, that the word comes to this man that besides all this, he says, you who have in your lifetime your good things. And Lazarus had his evil things. Now he says he is comforted. and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. There's no such thing as another chance after you die. All the praying that anyone will do for you, or all the praying you would do, cannot alter your position. It's a solemn thing. Oh, will you not be aroused to it, awakened to the fact? These are the words of the Lord Jesus. This is not just a theory of man. This is the truth of God. You die in your sins, you'll remain in your sins. There's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Think of it. Your eternal destiny is settled the moment you leave this life, whether abruptly or if you know that you're going to die, but if you leave it unprepared, unsaved. Now Christ came to save you, and he saves you through his word. And this man, he says, I have five brethren, and oh, that you would send Lazarus to them, that they will not come to this place of torment. This man gets the missionary spirit too late. Yes, he did not think of them before, but in eternity he has his eyes open to the issues of life and death, time and eternity. He knows for sure. Now the Lord has revealed in his word these things that you might face these things now before it is too late. You know, it wouldn't do any good if someone would rise from the dead and go and appear to someone and then say that this is true. People do not receive such a miraculous manifestation. The Lord himself says no. He says, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And how true this is. You have the word of God, and men have had the word of God for centuries. And if the word of God is not believed, men will not receive the miraculous. This has been proven time and time again. Take the case of Lazarus himself, that is Mary and Martha's brother who was raised from the dead. What happened? The Lord Jesus raised him from the dead in the presence of others who saw him there at that day. He came forth out of the tomb. Did that change the hearts of the unbelieving, those that rejected the Lord Jesus? Not one bit. They sought to get rid of Lazarus. They sought to slay him. Oh, beloved friends, you have the word of God. And the scriptures tell us that Christ died to save us from hell, and you can bridge the gulf from death to life now on this side of eternity by coming to him. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You take Christ as your Savior, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be made ready to die, and when you die, you too will go to the place of blessing, to be with Christ, which is far better, to be at home with the Lord. But you know, will you not face it, that you must be prepared, and now is the time. Life is so short, at best it's very brief. Will you not consider this, and while you have time, trust Christ as your Savior?